What is up? It is Tuesday, September 20, 2011, and welcome to Inside the Game, episode 16. I'm actually excited. It's been a while, guys. I think I looked, and September 8th was the last time that we got to have a little powwow. But I won't lie, I'm a little salty as we begin this episode. I feel like the communication is not really there, and you did not inform me about the black tank top that I needed to be wearing tonight.
It was a spontaneous kind of thing.
They sent out a memo to all people that are cool. You were on that list.
Oh.
But you know
what? I know. We'll see if Payne uses.
You didn't go to last MLG. Instead, you went to a convention.
I didn't.
So, yeah.
Really?
Truth hurts, man.
Really?
Truth hurts.
Wow, yep. You son of a bitch! Thank you for that. Thank you for that slap. I needed that. How can you slap? But I understand.
Good reference.
Another. How can you slap? Another week goes by, guys, and honestly, I got a little bit of... I've been trying to play a lot more StarCraft 2 over the weekend so I can engage, you know, in good conversation with you fellows. But I also spent some good time with Dead Island, which I can tell you, it will not help you with your StarCraft 2 game. It's been confirmed by me scientifically this weekend, as I think my Steam said about 21 hours put into that game just made me worse. So... just letting everyone know, killing zombies does not have a direct correlation to your skills in StarCraft 2. With that being said, today is a new day because patch 1.4 comes out. That's one of the things that we're going to be talking about. Jinro F-bomb we're going to be discussing a little bit. And you probably have already noticed that we don't have Pain User. Or did you not?
So we'll be able to legitimately comment on the Terran patch stuff.
Well, actually, Pain User is in a meeting.
That's going to be stronger.
And he will be joining us in a little bit. So I would say that, you know,
we got to talk about balance really fast.
Or use that to your advantage, where you could, you know, whatever, however you want to work that. So, but first and foremost, guys, just a few days ago, it was pointed out that the pools of the next MLG event in Orlando are coming out. And I wanted to at least get you guys' comments on these. First and foremost, if I understand... there's an event the same weekend, correct?
Yep.
Is it IEM, an IEM event?
IEM New York.
Okay. Now, you guys are actually both going to be at MLG, as far as I know.
Yep.
Okay. But we are missing a few players, which means that there is some filling out, I guess you could say, that happens in some of the pools. But people are talking about Pool D, which includes teammate EG Huck, DRG, Sake, MC, and July.
It's a disappointingly easy group. I think a lot of the players...
we were hoping Huck would get challenged this time. But...
recent results, you know, MC, what has he done? Sake, I don't know. Huck's fallen off the grid ever since he lost that Round of 8 Code S match to MVP.
Dongregu dropping two games to Thorzane.
Exactly. Dongregu just barely winning the Spanish DreamHack Invitational. I mean, a lot of those guys have something to prove. They just haven't been putting up the results lately. I mean, StarTale July, what has he been doing? You know, it's been a long time since his major championship wins in Brood War. So.
Yeah, and do you guys want to comment on your groups then?
I think you literally could not make an easier group than Pool A from this group of 16 players. Like, maybe sub in Slush for one of them. Wow. But given that there has to be one Korean, I'm actually mind-boggled at how easy my group is.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd like to thank Naniwa for dropping out and giving me the first seed so I actually got that group.
There you go.
And big props to him. What about yours?
My group is another one, just like Group D, very easy. StarTail Bomber, again, very much so. I mean, Terran hasn't been doing that good in Korea, so for them to, like, to have two Korean Terrans in my group, I'm looking at this and saying, easy peasy, beautiful cover girl. Neither one of them are quite sure about the TVP matchup. It's been really struggling in Code S. Bomber is one of the guys who's come out and said he flat out thinks there's an imbalance. Rodos players are just doing too damn good. Puma, a guy that just barely made it on a roster. He came to us, asked if he could join. We said we got to he didn't like that, so he just started to offer to pay us money to come to our team. So we eventually were like, fine, he could be on the B squad. So he's been training under LZ Gamer. yeah, that worked out. But the guys that I'm really, really, really afraid of is we got Kiwi Khaki in there, plays Protoss, brilliant player, really good. And then we have Sheth, who actually, seriously, Sheth's really scary as EVPs. He, like, just yesterday in the IPL arena beat Rain and three other Protoss or something like that, including TT1 and a few other Protosses. He's doing really well.
Yeah.
And he always pops up. Like, it's such a pain in the ass to play him because when you lose to him, people are like, still kind of surprised because his results are kind of subtle. But if any Protoss player loses to Sheth, they know exactly why. It's because Sheth's an absolute monster as EVP. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a challenge. I mean, that's the same. That's kind of my mantra throughout my entire group. Like, I got the group, and my Twitter was blowing up with people being like, oh, I'm so sorry, Control. Oh, no, that's so bad. Oh, I'm sorry. But you know what? If you're going to do well at an MLG, if you want to get good results, you need a group like this. Like, I did really well at MLG Dallas, but it was against a group of people who a lot of people feel are not the strongest of competition, and I don't want to repeat that. Like, sure, fourth place is nice, but I'd rather sit down in a group with a Bomber, Puma, Kiwi Khaki, and Sheth and come out fairly well. That's my goal. And if I do, then I can look at that group and say, all right, I belong there. But if I get blanked again and if I get smashed around, then I need to come out on top in the championship bracket. That's going to be my mentality going into this. It's just that I'm going to be fighting tooth and nail to get every win I possibly can.
Sure. So, and we've got, I'm counting here, let's say, from this weekend, 1, 2, 3 weekends, and IPL 3 right before that. So let's just consider that there's a good, you know, 2 weeks of solid training sort of remaining, maybe 2.5 weeks. Yeah. With patch 1.4 coming out, and we are going to talk about 1.4. In fact, we could probably just jump right to that first. Because I'm sure it's going to eventually go there anyway. Because my question coming off of that and discussing the pools is, what are you guys working on, like, status quo to prepare for what you've got in front of you, considering that you have 2.5 weeks?
I'm working on the silliest possible all-ins versus Protoss so that there's some chance I may win a game and if I ever have a series versus Protoss.
Are you being serious about that, Greg, or are you actually...
like, I haven't played enough on the new patch to be sure, but yeah, I think so.
Interesting. Well, you know what? I really like aggressive Zerg, so there's a part of me that wouldn't mind at least seeing what you could possibly figure out. But what about versus Terran? I mean, we had, of course, the Blue Flames make a really nice comeback. A lot of early pressure is coming up again. Of course, there's some changes in the new patch. But, you know, what do you feel like, even without the new patch there, that you need to work on the most?
Ghost, any kind of Ghost heavy play really worries me a lot. Versus Protoss, really defensive. Actually, exactly the way Hero played against me on Metal. At the DreamHack Valencia. Just turtling up, making a bunch of cannons everywhere. Cannons are kind of underrated versus Zerg, I think. And then lots of Warp Prism harass. Because you say put down a bunch of static defense, but upgraded Zealots run through Spine Crawlers pretty well. And short of that, if you have your army running all over, it doesn't work that well. So, yeah, really Ghost Heavy and then Turtle Warp Prism harass.
You think that's going to be one of the more popular things?
That's the stuff. That is... Those are the non-luck-based ways that I see myself losing a lot. It's really easy to lose the silly stuff early game, but that's kind of always true. It's just a matter of scouting and preparation. But yeah, people who play Ghost Turtle really well and people who Turtle and Warp Prism harass.
What about you, Jeff? Even without consideration of the patch, what do you think personally you have to be working on the most?
For me, I wasn't practicing the right way. I was kind of in a mental slump going into the last MLG and shortly thereafter. We've talked about this on this show in particular, but there's a lot of new duress on pro gamers. As the game grows, so does the expectation for each of us, so we're kind of learning how to handle that. But I think I have that under control. But for me, it's more CGs. I've got a team full of really, really excellent players here that I was not utilizing to the full potential or anywhere near it. So my goal is, starting tomorrow, because today's like show day, it's going to be, you know, in the evening, I want to play at least a best of three against everybody, and I'm kind of kicking around ideas in my head to have in-house tournaments with something on the line to replicate that competitive atmosphere. Because a lot of times, part of the reason why CGs are good but not great is because some people just don't care, right? So if they start to lose, they leave. But that doesn't create the atmosphere for what was, you know, in an MLG, someone would stick it out and play a little harder, that kind of stuff. So we're working on some ideas to make sure that we're getting that practice in for an MLG atmosphere that we need to.
Right on. Well, with that, I mean, do you want to comment at all about the 1.4 patch? As we go into it, there's a lot of good things. You know, in Control, actually, before we get into the gameplay aspect of it, I saw your tweet that kind of made me realize, like, oh, wow, it's actually something I hadn't thought about. And you said that, you know what I'm talking about, right?
With the chat stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, one of the mental things that I'm having to adjust with is that I give too much attention to negative commentary. But the other thing, too, is I'm saturated every single day with really positive comments from people on Battle.net saying, hey, good luck, we're rooting for you, that kind of stuff. That stuff really matters. So I think one of the side effects of this patch is that Battle.net's going to become a whole lot more lonely, which for a lot of us, like when we're streaming or playing a competition, or as Artosis always talks about, and you do too, Weed, if you're like recording something for IPL or something else, it's going to be nice not to be disturbed or harassed. But on the other hand, too, there's no way for those people to reach out to their favorite pros now on Battle.net. So I'll take the good with the bad. I think it's mostly good, but it's kind of a new thing. You know, people are going to have to tweet at us as opposed to messages on Battle.net. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective that I hadn't considered. And with that, I don't know. Have you guys played any games on the new ladder?
Yeah.
Any of the subtle UI changes or in-game mineral, like, look, I just canceled this building and got this shit back. Like, what do you think about
that? Yeah, that's really weird. It feels like playing a UMS. You just randomly see a little blue number pop up on your screen, and it's like, I don't know. I wish I were disableable, because, I mean, it's something every competitive player knows anyway. It doesn't add anything to it. I can see how it's nice for newbies, but it's kind of just an annoying distraction for us. It's weird.
Fair enough.
One of the big changes that didn't get a lot of attention, I guess, in the pre-patch discussion was that you can't warp in on ramps at all. A lot of people were talking about reduced vision.
I think that was actually a new thing. Like, I saw that thread, and they said that it wasn't like that in the PTR. This is an additional change that they made.
Yes, it was in the PTR. I saw both. I read the same thread. I mean, okay. I don't know. I didn't play any PTR, but in either case, what we have right now is that you can't warp in on the ramp at all. So that means that if you have a sentry, a four gate is completely null and void. There's just no way it's able to get up in your base like it was before. You used to be able to warp in on the ramp to get vision of the above ground over the ramp and then warp in on that space. But now with the ramp null and void, there's none of that. So on the one hand, I'm really excited. I'm actually pretty terrible in defense against four gates and doing four gates in comparison to, obviously, the other top gamers. But I've been working on the longer mid-game and just the more macro portion of PvP, so I'm really excited to see more of that.
I can't even find notes that don't reference anything that's not... Here we go. God, a pain in the ass. Okay. I was trying to also find those pictures, and I couldn't seem to find them. But you're saying that it's not quite what PTR was saying, or just that it's just a little bit limited, but not in a way you think that it's going to...
Well, now you...
Oh, go ahead, Greg.
As far as I understand it, you physically cannot warp in on a ramp anymore. And in the patch notes, it says you get limited vision up a ramp, so that makes it harder, too. And I think there was one other change. So that would have just made it harder, but now you physically can't put a unit on a ramp, no matter what, even if the ramp is completely free and you have vision of it. So obviously it becomes nearly impossible to do offensive 4-gate. But also stuff like warping in a couple of zealots on a ramp to block a Ling run by or stuff like that, can't do that anymore. So... Yeah.
That's a good point, but it's 99% PvP.
Yeah.
I mean, the 4-gate in the beta was used against Terrans to get up above that ramp, but that was silly. If you're going to 4-gate Azurg, it's outside their natural, so it's never really a ramp issue. It's awesome for PvP. I mean, the other ones that I'm really liking, too, and I think I like this because there's a little bit of the troll in me, but I like that they changed the drone hitting, because I think that's going to make ZVT more... Like, the Bunker Rush, which kind of complicates that matchup, now gets some extra DPS in there with the early drones, which is the number one defense against the first stage of the Bunker Rush. So I'm really happy with that. It's kind of sad that it was a bug. It's not like this is a buff at all. It's just them being like, turns out 1 year the drone wasn't hitting all the time. It's like,
have you noticed any immediate change in that, Idra? Because I imagine that one's got to be pretty big. I mean, any sort of like...
Yeah, it definitely is. Just like you don't even have to pay attention to it. You just right-click the drone on the probe and it actually attacks when stuff happens. It's really cool. And no, it makes a pretty big deal. And that plus the 5-second build time on the barracks. Early games EVT got quite a bit easier with this.
Now, before we go even further into gameplay, one of the things that I know at least the general community who just enjoys playing StarCraft II is very happy about, and that's that they made some sort of surprising ladder UI changes. Did they add everything that people wanted? Absolutely not. But what they did add, I was at least somewhat impressed with. I saw the I saw the simple stuff like, hey, if you just played a guy on ladder, you can see what their rank was without having to go to their profile and stuff like that. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? I mean, are you happy at all that, hey, they at least are making an effort to put that stuff in the game?
I don't know. It's all silly little cosmetic stuff that they could, I don't know the technicalities of it, but I'd imagine they could have done it in a week, months ago, and they still haven't done any of the important stuff with Battle.net, so I find it hard to be impressed at all with anything like that.
I'm the same as Greg. I hate to be pessimistic, but to be honest, he and I share the same mind, opinion on this. Like, I can't help but to be a little bit annoyed that they're, like, adding a box around something, and this is a lighter blue now, and it's all pretty, but, like, it took a long time to get the chat blocking in there. There's still some other interface stuff that's really bad. Like, chat channels are still really weird. I mean, Battle.net had the right idea when it was in its first edition for Brood War. I mean, stuff like that. So I come off sounding really ungrateful. I know that, but I can't help but to look at this and be like, who gives a shit? Do that other stuff that really matters.
I can understand there's also two perspectives and two audiences that Blizzard has to cater to. And even though at the end of the day, I would like to see all of it go towards improving it as that competitive game that already it's established itself as, there's no doubt. The extra effort would be great. On the other hand, I'm also one of those nerds that will sit down for 6 hours and ladder for, you know, shits and giggles, knowing that I'll never make it to the top. And you know, those things are nice.
Yeah.
They're distractions. A little carrot on a stick, like, oh, that'll make me work a little harder next time. And
it's like asking for Heart of the Swarm for Christmas, and instead someone gets you Space Marine for the Xbox. Cool game. Appreciate it. Not what I wanted, but...
Not exactly.
Okay.
So, anything else gameplay-wise... obviously, Greg, I think that you expressed some concern about the ZVP matchup. I know that it was one that you already didn't like that much. So, what are your overall thoughts on it, even with the limited games that you've played?
Yeah, I think the only way Zerg is going to win is timings that kill Protoss's third base. I think if you let Protoss get a third base up in Colossus, the game's over. Because it's going to go back to... Basically, what happened was Infestors got a buff, and Zerg started innovating like everyone demanded. We started doing Baneling drops and using Infestors more and all that kind of shit. And that just got thrown out the window, because Neural Parasite is going to be useless against Colossus and Mothership because of the range, and nearly useless versus Immortals. That's something we found from testing. It's now really hard to Neural an Immortal without dying or getting Force Field out of the way. So, like, all that. And the Baneling drops aren't quite as good anymore because of that, the nerf to how units drop on top of clumps of things. And that was how people figured out how to deal with Death Balls. Roach Hydro Corruptor does not work. We saw that. And then we innovated. And now the patch just took away everything that we found that works.
What do you...
And Protosses have significantly refined their play. And they now have the buffed Warp Prisms. And we're already starting to see that Warp Prisms were really fucking good before. And their only weakness was their fragility, which is now gone.
So. I agree with Greg. I think the win percentage for ZVP will plummet to somewhere around 50%. It should equal out to balanced.
Okay, no. I have a question. So you said taking down the third, right? Like that might be one of the key things for that particular matchup. Based off of what you just said then about a lot of the units, you know, or compositions not being worthwhile, how do you think that's going to be accomplished in the ZVP matchup?
Well, you see actually a lot of really weird timings from Korean Zergs, just all kinds of things, especially Koka. He's a player who has really refined builds in terms of that. And all different kind of things, even like Hydra-based semi-all-ins, like three bases but only 60 drones or so, build up a big timing with Bane drops or Hydras or Roach Hydra, even some Corruptor timings, and just hit right as Protoss tries to take their third and kill them there. Because the big problem that Zerg has is dealing with Protoss's high-tech units, and Neural Parasite was kind of an answer to that, as was the power of Fungal and Baneling drops together. Obviously, without that, that doesn't happen anymore. So basically, your whole goal is to prevent Protoss from getting up to a point where they have a lot of Colossus or a lot of Immortals or a Mothership or even a lot of Templar. And the only way to do that really is to prevent them from getting the third Ghast, which is what lets them afford that high-tech. But yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to see what works best, but it's going to be some kind of weird timings.
Hearing stuff like that, Jeff, does that make you think that there'll have to be a change in that matchup, or are you pretty comfortable that it'll kind of remain the same for you?
Things will pretty much march on the way it has been. I mean, it'll be a little bit better. The minus two range to Neural Parasite is tremendously important to the matchup. I do believe that there will be a lasting effect of that, but Korean Zergs have been beating Protoss into the ground with very minimal Infestor usage, and including Baneling drops. Koka is considered an oddball because he uses Baneling drops, and there's not a Zerg in Kree you can name right now that's using heavy Infestors. I don't see this patch changing it tremendously. I think non-Korean Zergs are going to struggle a little bit more because they've been abusing the Infestor, which is a unit that is universally agreed to have needed a nerf, and it got a Neural Parasite nerf, which is not what everyone complains about for the most part, and then it got a 5 damage reduction. So a lot, if you look at the damage chart for Fungal, it went from like 2.43 or like 3.43 against Stalkers to 4. So it always needed 4, now it just needs like the 0.57 or whatever it is to kill it off.
That's deceptive, because at 4 that means you have to hit 4 in a row perfectly timed, like the moment it stops. So it's actually going to be 5, and Neural is whatever. Another Fungal is a big deal. And a Neural is what everyone is complaining about, because that was the response to Colossus. That's what allowed you to not go Corruptors. Heavy or Corruptors means you lose.
Well, it makes Extended Thermal Lance like the game
makes
over.
It outrange the Infestors. Infestors are high target priority.
Exactly.
So you don't even have to right-click on them to not get Neural.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, I'm okay with a unit that doesn't literally have a response to everything. Like, Fungals...
But the reason the Infestor had to have a response to everything is because all our other shit sucks.
But Greg, it's like only you that thinks that.
Other
Zergs
like,
are winning
but that's,
everything with non.
Korean Zergs are going Infestors a shitload. Like, two base Ling Infestor is one of the more common openings in GSL ZVPs.
I mean, name ST. What was the last time he did Infestor?
How many ZVPs has he played? It's like the last two Protoss he played. The last two Protoss he played were Hangan and Inca, who I think, well, Inca at least has already dropped a code B. Hangan is kind of trash. I mean...
It is true. He's running out of Protosses to play against because the game's in balance against Protoss and they're all dying.
They lose to Terrans and they all suck ass. Like, watch them play.
Even though there are moments in which I feel like even the Zerg bias is strongest with Idra, I do agree that as another Zerg player, just throwing it out there, like, I would much rather play VT and VZ versus VP, because I suffer from exactly what Idra talks about. It's like, the moment they get that third base, I just feel like there's nothing that I could fucking do. And, you know, the Infestor and the Neural and seeing it in action, to me, it really seems like with the range thing, I don't understand it. I don't quite understand it. I mean, Jeff, don't you target fire Infestors? Like, the moment that one tries to come in, are you not going to have your already hotkeyed Colossuses fucking own the shit out of that thing?
You don't even need to do that. They're such big units that 3 force fields mean the Infestors never get in range.
I do think, I mean, it goes without saying, it would be impossible for me to say that it's not going to be incredibly strong. I mean, your Colossus are going to have +2 range on the Neural Parasite. I think the problem, and perhaps again, as Greg likes to default to, maybe it's a game design issue, but at range 9, there was nothing else that could reach the Nurgle. So a lot of times, if your Colossus were captured, that's just it. You don't get to them. And people would be like,
V-Tech
Blink.
And Colossus are both 9 range and blinking and killing
okay,
investors.
Okay, well hang on, Greg. You might this might shock you, but I was ready to answer that. It was
you
not going
to
be just Colossus.
Three things kill them.
When you fungal something, nothing can move, including those Templars. So if they're not in range of the neural parasiting investor, the Protoss literally has zero response. That's why, in my opinion, things like instead of absolute frozen units, fungal should maybe slow them down like it used to. If I could still separate my units, and there's like a micro level to that, I think that's both a fair, I think it is a nerf to fungal, but it's also fair in the sense that players that just sit there are still just going to sit there. The ones that want to take the time to spread their units out are going to be able to do it. But maybe they inch forward and kill a neural parasite unit as well. I guess I think the problem was that at range 9 with fungal, there are situations where literally the Protoss can do absolutely nothing. Just nothing. And that's a weird thing to have in the game when you just die like that.
The Infestor was too good, but the problem is it had to be too good because everything else is really bad. Like, if you can't Neural Parasite Colossus, you have to go Corruptors. And Corruptors fucking suck.
Like, well,
it's just you had to have the Infestor be that good because it was the only thing that could deal with a lot of these different threats. And so they nerfed the Infestor and they didn't buff anything else.
We've gotten to this point a few times. At the end of the day, Greg, you thought that going into this patch, Zerg needed a buff against Protoss. Am I right?
Yeah. I don't think I said that.
No, I'm asking your opinion. Don't you think that would be the case?
I think it should take some more time, and I think that eventually Turtle Warp Prison play would be overpowered. But there are a lot of timings mid-game where Zerg could win a lot. So I think we would have to see how that balanced out. Like, if Protoss manages to get up to third base, and I think Protoss versus Zerg is overpowered, but I think there's a lot of ways that Zerg can prevent you from getting third base.
Let me ask you this. How much more time do you need? Because there's no Protosses rising right now. They're all falling.
There's plenty of them. JYP and Sage and...
I've got a question for chat. Someone just out of curiosity.
Hey, Zerg rising.
You kind of answered it. I actually want Jeff, as a Protoss player, how do you think Idra now should respond to your 6 Colossus that you have with your army?
Same way a lot of players in Korea have already been responding. Corruptors are misused, of course, but there are still times where a Corruptor sweep is actually really powerful. If a Protoss is on 2 bases because you're denying their third and they roll out with Colossus, if they lose those Colossus, they're dead. If you're left with 15 Corruptors, then yes, you did overkill and now it's going to be tough to replace them. I think a lot of Zergs fall back on the macro game where they're sitting on Roaches, which are not supply efficient, and then they get up to 200-200, get rolled over, and then they're stuck with, like, reloading with bad Lings or weak Roaches, and they're wondering why they're losing the game. I think Zergs need to be more aggressive, and that's why the overly aggressive Zergs in Korea are laughing and calling the matchup a joke, because they're aggressive. The ones outside of Korea aren't so much.
What's your response to that, Idra?
Like I said, there's a lot of Zerg mid-game aggression. That's the way that Zergs win, if you can deny the third. But denying the third isn't foolproof, and Protoss, I think, are getting better at figuring out the timings, figuring out that you either have to make Templar, you have to be really... You actually have to watch and use Force Field to keep the Infestors out, stuff like that. And that once Protoss gets the third base up, it is absolutely overpowered. Even before, when we had Neural Parasite to nullify some of these overpowered units. And now we don't really have that. So yeah, he's right. Aggressive Zerg is the proper way to play it. You have to trade units and try and deny that third base. But that's a really shaky way to have to play. It's really map dependent. I think that's putting everything into the Protoss, just figuring out how to defend stuff.
There's still nice alternate strategies to fall back on, though. Like, we're seeing a lot of Zergs on Crossfire, for instance, go meet a Ling, and are more counter-heavy, +2 melee.
Well, that's a really unique map design, because it's so hard to take the third. Like, no other map is really
like that. I understand. I'm not trying to say it's a carte blanche answer to every single map ever. What I am trying to say, though, is that there are alternate strategies. You don't have to just go Roach Infestor every single game, every single map, and then when they nerf the Nurgle, start complaining that the matchup's completely broken. There are other strategies that are working. You just have to roll them around now. You can't just make Roaches and Infestors and win every time. And I think that's a good way to look at the matchup as opposed to, thinking it's over.
Well, I guess we're going to see is I mean, you guys both said you haven't played that much in terms of matches.
Well, it hit this morning.
Well, God, Jeff, everyone expects you to at least have played 50 games within that time frame. I understand. That's what I'm saying, man. I'm just... Why get so defensive, Jeff?
I'm just pissed.
What, dude?
Because I haven't taken a sip of my monster yet.
This is going to make you even more crazy, Jeff. Like, what are you trying to say? All right, I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick break. We'll let Jeff kind of, like, you know, temper down a little bit, simmer down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You get pain user in here. I see what's going on. You neural-parasited Idra despite the nerf. Greg's fungling me, and we need Taylor in here with his banshee to kill everybody.
Yeah, it's going to happen. No, we're going to take a quick break. Actually, for those of you that are still asking, Pain User did have important meeting to attend. Of course, IPL 3 is right around the corner. Both of you guys are going to that, correct?
Yeah.
IPL?
I am.
Yeah. No, you're not going. Cool.
Yeah.
You're not going to be there.
Anna
will be there. Yeah. Right on. Right on. Well, we'll hang out and we'll tweet you about how awesome it is without you.
Damn.
And I'll send you pictures and we'll and then next time you'll go. I'm sorry. That sounded really mean and I didn't mean for it to sound mean at all, Jeff.
They're going to have you solo cast there too, so joke's on you, bitch.
Dude, for a second, I seriously was about to just take my microphone and smash it through my monitor. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? All right, seriously, we'll be back in just a minute, guys. Thanks for joining us on our Inside the Game. We'll be back after this. We're back for some more Inside the Game, episode 16 here. We just got done talking a little bit about the 1.4 patch. And now, I've just got to talk about this because I don't get it. I don't get it at all, guys. It makes no sense to me, right? You know, I watched the Mayweather fight. Mm-hmm. Right, you guys see this? If you guys still watch boxing every once in a while, I know.
No, everyone stopped watching boxing 20 years ago.
I never watch boxing. I'm a UFC guy, a mixed martial arts guy, absolutely. Just happened to catch it, and in catching it, and it's gonna, it really sucks. I forget who the hell the guy was that said it, but they had their HBO Sports broadcaster on there. And he called out the boxer, and Mayweather had some words. They had some words with one another, and in fact, to the point where Mayweather actually said, the guy that was interviewing him said, "I wish I was 50 years younger so I could kick your ass." And I was like, "Well, A, that guy's got the balls of steel, and B." That's pretty fucking awesome. And, like, I got mad respect for that guy. And, you know, it's a tough sport and it's brutal. And at least they're voicing their opinions. And so as I'm watching this, I'm kind of, like, laughing about something that happened just a few days ago. And I actually had to look this up. I thought it happened, like, 2 weeks ago. That's how, like, how much I think it just kind of, like, came and went, but I'm trying to find it right here. Basically, Jinro dropped the F-bomb during the GSL August selection.
The what bomb?
October. The F. He said fuck, Jeff.
There it is.
He said the word fuck, if you could believe it.
My ears.
And even more so, which is kind of crazy, is that the whole story behind is he's doing some selection for Huck. There was kind of like a little trolling going on there, I think, with some of the players. And the name was put up, but it was kind of like, haha, we're just kidding. It really goes, you know, it's really this person. And people were like, no, no, no. What are you doing? This is out of this world. Like, how can you, what, like, that's like pissing on our ancestors' graves, what you are doing right now. And Jinro in response, where I kind of disagree because people were like, man, you know, did you see Jinro, man? Fucking talk about a fucking guy who can't fucking, like, compose himself, like, totally emotional dude, like, can't even fucking believe he would act like that. Like, what the fuck? And he says, I would never fuck over a friend like that. And, you know, like, in all honesty, that's probably something that I would say if I was put in a position where I felt like I was going to fuck over my friend. I would probably say something like that. But the internet exploded, you guys. And suddenly, we must...
This is like the 10th time this has happened with Jinro, too.
I just don't get it. I really don't get it. I mean, like, I just don't fucking get it. We can all enjoy games of shit blowing each other up, but suddenly... The word fuck comes out. And you're right. It's happened 10 billion times, Idra.
People are used to normal standards of censorship, but this isn't a... It's not like the community that's receiving public television broadcasts or whatever. It's a bunch of teenage and 20-year-old guys who talk like that all the time. It's... There's no one who needs to be protected from a bad word watching this game, so it's just silly. But people like to get pissy about stuff.
I will play devil's advocate.
Go for it.
Thank you. I needed a more epic, like, gasp or something. Greg to cover his mouth and faint.
I'll just give you the, like, skeptical.
He said devil. On this subject, first and foremost, my actual opinion is that I understand. I mean, the way it was contextually used, it's not a big deal at all. It's not like he pointed his finger at Mr. Chan and said, fuck you, bitch, and, like, started trying to choke him out. What he actually said was, like, I'm not going to screw over a friend. But he used a pretty harsh word by censorship standards, as Greg pointed out. That's my opinion, of course. Not that big of a deal. But the other side of this, too, and the reason why some people did make it a big deal, I do believe most people made it a big deal because it's way more fun to bandwagon and bitch on the internet than it is to be, like, in agreement and happy about things. It's just more fun to try to cause trouble. There are some people who are older. They like to get their kids involved. They might want to have, like, their girlfriend sit down and watch this, and they're trying to show their life to them. And, of course, when Jinro says the F word, do they storm out of the room and, like, cry into their pillow and it's the end of the world? No. But they may have a discomfort with it, saying it's not needed, it's not necessary, and if Jinro was treating the situation as professionally as he probably should have, he would watch his language when he's got cameras on him and his peers around him and thousands of people around the world watching, right? Like, there are better words for that situation. So I feel like if people are complaining on that plane, it's a legitimate complaint, and I could understand that, and I would hope that most people would respond by saying, you know what, I can see your point, probably didn't need to say that, okay. But, like, for it to be threads all over the internet and for people to get really pissed off...
That's kind of it. You know, like, I've heard that kind of stuff come up on live television. You know, I've seen it during live performance. I've probably dropped things that I shouldn't have said before during performances that I should not have been saying those types of things. Very rare, but they happen. But it's like you could get exposed. I watch so many billions hours of GOM TV, and I don't hear that kind of thing, right? But it's sort of like walking down the street and seeing fuck spray painted on the side of the wall. And I feel like these people are going to run over and just start kicking the wall and punching it and spitting on it and cursing it. It's like it's going to happen. And, I mean, that's really – it's just – I felt bad more or less. I could care less. We've talked about the language debate tons. I felt terrible for Jinro because I felt like people painted some sort of picture like he was, you know.
Well, they called us, like, professionalism into question and stuff like that, and that's taking it way too far. Like – clearly, it's a colloquial thing that he uses. I mean, Swedes apparently swear like a sailor, like on a cultural level. And again, it's not like he used it to diss someone. He was literally saying, I'm not going to fuck over a friend. Oh, no.
Yeah. Anyway, I felt bad for it, Jinro, everyone else involved. I wish they'd kind of lay off a little bit, but we got Pain User back, I think.
Hey. Get your message out, Weed, though, because we weren't really talking about Jinro, were we?
What do you mean?
We were talking about the word bitches and greeting people in mass.
Hey, you know what? That's who I am. That is who I am. And if Kim Rom would like to say Wheat, I would appreciate it if you would no longer open up. I'm doing a horrible Kim Rom impression, but live on three with What's Up Bitches. And if he said that, then I would, you know, but I don't think Kim Rom
has a problem.
I'm
pretty sure you've done that before, Wheat, multiple times.
That's actually another really good point, because, like, all the people who sit there complaining about this, they then go and watch and wait for more of this drama to happen so they can be upset about it. Like, if it actually offends you, if it's actually a problem, stop watching and write complaints to sponsor or whatever. Until that happens and there's no reason to stop. And obviously the sponsors don't have a problem with it. The vast majority of the viewership doesn't have a problem with it. It's just people like to get their panties in a bunch.
What did you say about women's underwear? You think you're
so... That was entirely unintentional.
You think you're so funny. The best face I could do.
That was pretty phenomenal.
It doesn't help that, like, five drama bombs dropped in the last, like, 2 days, by the way.
Yeah. Are you ready to talk about another one? Because I didn't even have to make it a subject. This actually came up from an email. And I'd love to talk to you guys about it. Are you down
Let's
with
do
that?
It. Let's
okay.
talk about it.
By the way, welcome, Pain User. What's up, buddy?
What's up?
Are you feeling better this week?
What are you guys talking about? It doesn't sound positive.
We were talking about when Jinro dropped the F-bomb and the whole internet decided they wanted to piss on him that day.
What's new? Jinro's been doing that forever.
Exactly. It's what Greg said, too. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
that's how it is. You mentioned a bunch of drama bombs dropping all at once. Someone wrote in this email, you guys. And this is they wanted to remain anonymous, whatever reason.
Can you read it in the anonymous voice then, please?
With the recent contract stuff that's been going around lately, can the hosts of the show who are engaged with a team via contract comment on what that contract means to them and how important it is that they uphold its contents? Also, would love to hear the thoughts of how they perceive some of these issues. Thanks, guys. Love the show. And so he wants to know about contracts. And I was like, that's a great question, you know, because there's been a lot of shit kind of thrown around. A lot of signed this contract, but this international law prevented his dog from actually coming over, so he couldn't take the contract because he couldn't spend longer than 3 weeks away from his dog. And as a result, he's staying on the team that he was on. And they released a press release in German, even though it was a French company. I don't know. Like, some crazy shit over there with Millennium and Complexity. What do contracts sort of mean to you guys? Anyone care to comment on that?
Historically, in esports, contracts have meant nothing. They get void all the time. We're just now getting to the point where select few teams, like Complexity and EG, actually have enough money and care enough about their image that they can maybe uphold them in the court of law. But I highly doubt that any team is really willing to go through all the rigmarole to actually track somebody down, especially someone international, on a player contract. I mean, it's possible, but I really doubt Complexity has the time or the resources to go through with it.
Yeah,
Jason Lake might, but I mean,
Jason Lake, after all, used to be
a lawyer. That is accurate, brother.
But even Complexity throughout history has had all kinds of contractual issues in FPS games, players swapping teams, all kinds
of
stuff like that.
But they have at least always been very – and you know what? They actually said this in one of their articles, is that they have been they have played by the rules, I think is fair enough. Because on the other end, they have sort of been on the receiving end of that. So it's not the first time they've also had to deal with stuff like this. And you can imagine it's tough.
Past sins shouldn't absolve everyone from sinning against that group anyways, too. So, like, if they've had weird contract stuff in the past, I guess it'll make for a funny thread on Reddit somewhere. But for the most part, it sounds like they've been wronged. And actually, under the subject of contracts, we can talk about several different events, but I guess we're mostly talking about Stefano right now. Am I correct?
Yep.
Sure.
I would say for what Taylor said, he's absolutely correct. Most contracts in esports up until fairly recently for most organizations are not worth the paper they're written on. They're not notarized. They're not actually – there's no legal merit to it. It's a lot of big words to get younger kids thinking that they have to do something. And, of course, that's a pretty negative generalization, but for the most part, it's actually true. A lot of them, if they were to go to court, it just wouldn't – it wouldn't follow through. It would not – it would break apart amidst the hands of people who have actually handled contracts. Now that there's more money flowing in, teams are becoming more serious. You know, Idra, some of these other big superstars, Huck, those kind of guys, like, their contracts are real, and it matters because there's huge wads of cash floating around them. And Stefano is kind of entering into that sphere. He's a young 18-year-old guy. So when I first heard Complexity signed him, I was excited. I saw Complexity on the one hand raising up, because you don't pay Stefano 100 Big Macs and he's on your team. You have to give that guy a real salary, a real contract. And on the other hand, I was a little sad for Millennium. Seems like they're kind of like the farm league team. But
right.
Then a lot of funny stuff started happening where it's like, actually it comes out that he wasn't sure he wanted to do that, so he kind of backed out. Right. Millennium's like making pretty severe accusations in threads talking about how Complexity like disoriented him. And it became something else, in my opinion. It became a mud-flinging contest between two teams, which I thought's weird because it should be pretty cut and dry. Like, a player doesn't, like, hey, Stefano, meet me on the 18th hole on the golf course. Like, okay. And it's like, surprise, you're on our team. And he's like, no. It doesn't really work that way. There's, like, a lot of conversations and, like,
exactly.
Are you sure you want to sign with us? And he's like, yeah, I'm retired, but I'll sign with you now. Like, and then they sit him down, and he signs a contract, and it's all very, like, obvious what's happening. It's not like he was playing a game of StarCraft and it was like a UMS map where he builds a Hydralis, but then it turns out that he signed the contract. That stuff doesn't happen. So that whole thing was really, really weird. So what the issue actually becomes for me is, on the one hand, the terrible, like, disservice those two teams are doing to the community by making this so outrageously public. I do fault Millennium above Complexity, because Millennium was the first team to really start throwing the mud. So Complexity was more responding, and they didn't throw mud. They were more saying, like, whoa, 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 we did this legally. We're going to keep going forward with this. We're going to fight for this because we believe in contracts, which I think is cool, because as Taylor pointed out, contracts aren't worth that much. I think they need to be worth something. So in order for that to happen, a situation like this has to happen where teams start fighting it out, and then teams in the future are more careful.
Idra, I want to hear your comments on it.
I absolutely agree with that. Everyone talks about how esports need to become more professional and more mainstream and all that. And you can't do that and at the same time have all these backroom deals going on, teams stealing players from other teams and no real repercussions from it. And basically it's everyone doing whatever they want because there is no legal enforcement of anything. And so, I mean, assuming Complexity is actually in the right, because everything we have so far is just public statements from all the parties involved, so who knows what's bullshit and what isn't. But assuming Complexity is in the right, which they kind of seem to be, I really hope they do go to court and that they win and that Stefano has to honor the contract he signed. Because, I mean, if we don't have that, then what's the point of having any kind of legal agreements? Like,
so,
just bounce between teams until someone gives me the less money.
When you hear something about this, Idra, are you kind of, like, boggled? I mean, do you put a lot of importance into your contract, I imagine?
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah, the contract's the contract. You sign it, you're agreeing to do what's in it, and so is the other party. And if you're not willing to honor that, if you're not planning to honor it, how can you expect the same behavior from them? And if you can't, then it's like my entire livelihood's based on them deciding to be nice to me, which obviously it's not acceptable, it can't happen. So if we can't trust contracts, then we can't really have a professional thing of this.
How many teams out there do you guys think sort of are on the same contract wavelength as you guys? I mean, I throw this out to all three of you, but I mean, obviously for Jeff and Idra, I'm curious about there. I'm not sure what your situation is, Pain User, but
I mean, my situation is way different than theirs. VP is not even close to the same level tier of team as EG, so my contract isn't worth the salt that it's written on. I just honor it because I choose to.
Right, right. So then how many, going back to my question, how many teams legitimately do you think out there, just like throwing out a number or percentage, I would be okay with that, like are at EG's level in terms of executing these contracts?
Complexity. Maybe Check Six.
Team Liquid, probably.
Team Liquid.
I know Six Jacks was. They had a contract strong enough to hold Major down. you guys laugh, but that's like a tank
well
of a
said.
Contract.
Well said.
Well, you say that, but then they die, and I know that all contracts didn't just expire. So, no, I think included in that has to be, like, the strength of the team, of the company as a whole. The fact that it's actually going to be able to deliver on its promises, whether or not there's any kind of malicious contract breaking, they just cut you or whatever.
FXO as well.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of teams that I'd really be comfortable being with on the same scale as EG. I'm not going to name them because they'll piss off everyone after whatever else after that. But
Craig,
you know, most teams.
Craig's worried about pissing people off.
Well, no, I'm becoming more PC now. Yeah.
I know.
How about in Korea? Do you think
team felt dirty as fuck?
No. I mean,
refuse the contract and then get pissed at us
sometimes. What about Korea? Okay,
I'm just curious. I figured I had to ask. It wasn't fair.
Really,
I
mean, is that bad over there with player contracts and stuff? I would imagine it's like on a even higher level than here.
On a business level, if you could, if an organization was capable of standing over a young man that's going to make you thousands and thousands of dollars and saying, you're living in our house, you're playing for us, you are ours.
But you don't get a contract or loyalty.
Do you think that kid's going to be like, well, what about a contract? You are ours. And they're like, okay. Why would they take that next step to do a contract? The only reason they would is if some other organization was like, hey, we'll offer you, you know, we'll give you a salary. He's like, what's that? Turks and Korea are a joke. They're not even there. Like, look at who was it? Who had that big snafu with the commercial and the money owed and stuff?
Fruit Dealer and Trickster.
Yeah.
Trickster.
There was an official announcement talking about how in their contract were obligated certain amounts of money for that situation. And then, like, a week later, it came out that, no, that was not the case. It wasn't true. How does that happen? What content do people read announced publicly and then later go like, actually, I didn't read that. I was reading a book.
You ever used one of those machines where you like you put your quarters in, you turn the dial, and then a little like ball comes out, and then you open up the ball and there's a prize inside? And occasionally in the prize you get this stamp. And this stamp on one side when you open it up is a little red felt, and it's got like exactly 25 stamps on it, and it's a picture of an elephant. And they stamp that, and that's about as good as the contracts are over in Korea. Nothing signed in blood, apparently.
They'll
I'm
get
watching
better.
All the movies I'm watching are totally false, man.
They'll get better. Like it took a couple outrages, and obviously we have to mention Puma, that whole ordeal. They really were uncomfortable with that, they being for the most part Korean business.
Right.
Of course, the joke of it is that he wasn't contracted. He was talked to completely fine, you know, and he was offered a deal that he could have turned down. He decided not to because it was the better deal. And not to upturn that whole thing because I don't need 25 more pages of that. But what happens in the future is Korean teams go to their players and say, will you sign this contract instead of just agree to what I tell you to do? And the players hopefully will wisen up and say, well, this contract says I'm working for free. But why? And then they'll like revolutionize the way that works. I mean, you think MC would play on a team for free?
I'll tell you what.
It depends on the profile of the player, right? I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
Well, it's top down, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a young kid out of high school going into a pro gaming house doesn't feel like in Korea he has the ability to ask for money because you don't ask adults or seniors for that kind of stuff. But hopefully with the market revolutionizing, it gets to the point where they can.
Interesting.
So it's like more results-based payment over there then.
Well, what do you think, Greg? I mean, you spent time there. What did?
I don't. They're just the players are so subservient. Like when they first one of the teams I was on, when they first contracted you, they just kind of had the set rate for a B teamer who they felt was worth taking and having on the team. But you're not going to play on TV. You're not going to win matches or anything. And they didn't really talk to you about the rate. They said, this is what you're getting. And everyone just signed it, and they didn't talk about it at all. It's just, I don't know. But yeah, until you have any power at all. Also, a lot of it gets into Korean culture, which I'm not really qualified to talk about. I've seen it, but I don't really understand it. Well, and I don't know. Korean teenagers don't seem like the best negotiators, so it's going to be a hard situation to make good in any way.
Well, you know what? And people, I keep on reading all this pessimistic discussion about how, you know, the foreigners, man, like, they got to get it together. The Koreans are stomping them. But, I mean, I keep looking over at the scoreboard, and I'm like, these Western teams are really kind of, like, doing great for the scene as a global whole. And I can't help but think that that's just going to continue to grow. I hope that it makes these other teams step up. But regardless, the drama as it is, I just find it very interesting. I'm glad that this person at least wrote in to talk a little bit about it. And I'll tell you what, why don't we take a really quick break, and when we come back, let's open up the phone lines. I know you just got here, Pain User, but you got here for the best part. So are you good for that when we come back?
Indeed.
We'll open up these phone lines. All right. Sounds good,
guys. I'm
going
to, like, clear out my area real quick.
Okay. All right.
By the way, Kim Rom is responding to every question you're asking.
What did he say?
I don't know what you did to him, but he's on Twitter.
What? Is he telling me to no longer
SK
say?
SK Gaming, Mouse Esports, EG, Fnatic, Slayers, Navi, OGS, probably all the Team Steel Series sponsors. And then the one above that is talking about the cultural evolution or natural evolution of today, saying bloggers went through it, community management went through this, market maturity, and economics. So, I mean, he said a couple of big words and three things were wrong there in that last one, but the one before that was pretty dead on.
Right on. All right.
Kim Rom, for people that don't know, is a public blogger for a small community that... he actually follows the Sim City scene really, really closely. And it's actually out. A lot of people know that. It's a big, big game.
Good guy. I'm glad he's tuned into the show. And he's not said you can no longer say what is up, bitches. By the way, I really want to try out that new mouse.
Isn't that your go-to intro, Marcus?
Yes.
What is up, bitches?
Jeff was saying that you can't say that, or, you know, I can't. No, he wasn't saying I couldn't say it, Pain User. But
I was at the epicenter of drama when that happened. I let it rain down on me, and I could feel the drama. It felt so good. And Wheat comes on the TSL cast and goes, "What is up, bitches?"
Yep.
The collective TLL. Or TL. Oh my god. That word, it takes me back. And then all of a sudden, boom, blog up on Team Liquid.
Yeah,
story about a man bringing his son to his chest and says, "Son, I give you esports." And then you guys can see my hand. And then Wheat says that, and he goes, "Oh my god." And he covered his ears, and he goes, "Son, look away from esports." And Wheat did it. That kid's going to grow up and become president of the United States and tell everyone they can't watch esports, and Wheat is the reason.
It's weird. Team Liquid is all about the super professional casts. Like, the feedback that we get from casting over at IPL is completely different from the TL community and, like, the YouTube and, like, casual viewer community. It's, like, two different worlds. It's weird.
It is weird. Guys, we're going to take our quick break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. Thanks for joining us on Inside the Game, Episode 15. Don't go away. We are back here for our final half hour of Inside the Game. Thanks for joining us for episode 16. Coming up next is going to be EG versus It's Gosu on the Evil Geniuses Masters Cup. Welcome hosts back to the show. I'm going to go ahead and open things up. I've got a call already. I'm just going to go ahead and take this guy. We've got area code 910 on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello. Yeah, this is Maki. And whenever I try to play StarCraft.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Man, eight-year-olds should not be allowed to call into the show.
Was that just the insta hang up right there, Marcus?
I'm just gonna protect my ears.
Jesus!
You know, it was gonna be like a bad poop joke or something like that. It was not okay for it to.
If I wanted a child to babble on my internet show, I'd have Mini Weed up here.
Exactly.
My
shit was going off like a fucking alarm pain user. We got area code 614. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Hey, wow. I was totally not expecting to get through.
Reality, you have gotten through to the show. Your name, sir.
So I apologize. Unfortunately, I just sat down a few minutes ago, so I don't know if there's a specific topic, but I did have a question for last weekend.
Go for it.
I got to mute you because hearing you say what you said a few seconds later is confusing.
Yeah, it is. It's like on air inception. It will fuck you up.
So I first want to say thank you for all of what you guys do, both this and the esports community. Idra, I'm a very big fan. I've been following you for a while, and this has been kind of like my football. My family and friends are all big into football and fantasy drafts and this is what I watch, you know, every night watching you guys. So thank you for that. But I had a question from last week. Just you guys were talking about, I guess, a little bit of the state of the game. And I've ran into some I'm a Zerg player, and I run into – I watch Idra and some of these other Zerg players. They have these things that seem to happen to them, and it just kind of kills the game for me. And I'm like, how in the F is that possible? One of which example, I was watching IPL a few weeks ago, I think, and Idra was playing somebody on Shakur's Plateau, had a whole bunch of roaches, and it was a Protoss. He had a whole bunch of Blinkstalkers and was coming up, and Idra's like, okay, I'll pull my roaches out, let's do this. The roaches came out, and then the guy's like, okay, how about I do this instead? Dropped two sentries in his base, force fielded his ramp, blinked up, and then just had his way with, the main base. It wasn't like Idra was out of position, or... It didn't look like he did anything wrong, but all of a sudden, just boom.
The minigun game. You're talking about the minigun game, right?
Yeah.
Master's Cup.
I don't mean to cut you short, caller, but what exactly is your question? These things happen against Zerg. It upsets you.
Minigun is a cheesy bastard.
No, he wants to know if we can make it so Protoss never win again. Greg? Help the man.
Start off or down where they should be. No, I'm just kidding. It's just between force field, high two racks openers that are no cost to the Terran, those types of things. What do you guys look for out of the Heart of the Swarm or whatnot for some of those things to change?
It's not because
it's kind of a killer from the spectator side, where you're sitting there and there's all this like high tense play, and then all of a sudden. You see something like that, and it's just game over, and you're just kind of like, oh.
All right. So, I mean, we've definitely kind of talked about it before. Idra, you were about to say something. What did you want to say before we move on here?
It's not so much Zerg. It's just StarCraft II really rewards aggressive, risky play. It's really easy to get free wins from stupid shit just because you catch your opponent off guard because scouting's not good enough. And it's easy to build up a really powerful force early on in the game. Either through abilities like Force Shield or just having a bunch of units. And Zerg tends to be more defensive and reactive early games, so Zerg gets the short end of that stick. But no, it's just a game design problem.
And it is our... Thank you, caller. Just the way it is. Thank you, caller. It is forever just going to be our role, apparently, to, as a Zerg
to take it
player,
up the ass.
To take it
apparently,
up the ass.
Apparently, he's never been Baneling busted.
StarCraft. Thank you, sir, for your call.
In Brood War, there was carriers. When carriers showed up and you had tanks and vultures...
Yeah,
you didn't know they were coming, you're dead. You're just dead. If you got DT dropped as a Terran, and you weren't prepared, you're dead. You're frickin' dead. And I sat on vent with a bunch of guys who talked about it all the time. And I'll tell you, yes, there are those events in StarCraft 2, But I've been dealing with it for 10 years. We've all been dealing with it for 10 years. It's StarCraft, man. There are strategies that happen, and boom, you're dead. And that's just the way it works.
I can accept that, at least for the time being. Let's take a next caller. We got Jonathan on the line. Jonathan, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going good.
Awesome. My question is actually for everyone, including you, Marcus. With Heart of the Swarm coming out, and we have a bunch of like NASL and GSL where like really long tournaments. When Heart of the Swarm is released, say it's like mid NASL, are we gonna see a bunch of tournaments using Heart of the Swarm and Wings of Liberty, or are we gonna see it all just immediately switch over?
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna ask, will the tournament switch in the middle of the tournament, man, and just totally fucking flip that shit on its head. But no, actually, I mean, that makes sense. What do you guys think? I think there'll be an instant switch.
I think it'll be an instant switch.
Oh, it's going to be like the Mount St. Helens eruption where there'll be that one old guy on the hill who's like, I'm not leaving. I came here for Wings of the Liberties, and I'll stay for the Wings of the Liberties. And then he'll just go away. We won't care about you. We're talking about Heart of the Swarm now. Just like Brood War, man. When that came out, there were still the people that played vanilla StarCraft, but they were like, the creepy people that never made it as StarCraft players anyway, so they were like hoping that it would thrive and then they would be this awesome vanilla StarCraft player. Didn't happen. Everyone's going to switch.
So another question is, like, these tournaments that are being announced in the future, like say we have like Atlantic City for IPL and all that stuff, that's like a month or like a month away. I don't know the exact date. Those are still going to be
2 weeks.
Whatever. The exact
date, right?
Are they gonna stay with that exact version? Are they gonna like? And this applies to the beta as well for Heart of the Swarm because we saw tournaments for Wings of Liberty in the beta as well.
I doubt they would switch during the beta just because we already have a functioning game and betas are meant to be a time where you get problems out of the game. It would be kind of risky to switch over to the beta. And the beta also gives you time to plan for that, so you don't have what you said where you announce the tournament, then you have to decide if you're gonna stay with the game it was announced with or the new one. I would expect it switches with release of the actual game.
Yeah, it's just going to be like a quick, concise, the game is released, boom, everyone switches over, and you take it from there. If there happens to be a tournament situation like the situation you just described, I mean, that's like a case-by-case basis. I don't think there's like a precedent for dealing with that.
Yeah. Jonathan, thank you very much for your call, dude. We're gonna move on. Thank you. But I'm glad to know that someone is thinking 4 years ahead into the future.
Yes.
Someone is covering that. Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. I'm going to take this guy right here. We got Miracle Worker on the line. What's up? Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, yo, thanks for taking my call. I'm kind of a loaded question. I just wanted to know how you guys would like to see the pro tournament scene kind of progress from here. You know, your last question was concerning Heart of the Swarm, but I don't want to go that far necessarily. I want to see... Would you like to see more Koreans come over and dominate this side, or would you... Sorry to say, but, you know, like, how would you like to see it progress from here? And that's about it, you know?
I mean, I would love to see us generate our own superstars over here and continue to have a limited amount of Korean participants in major tournaments. And I would also like for the leagues to sort of solidify. In my eyes, it's kind of like a UFC sort of thing right now. You have all these different leagues vying for power, and eventually a few will come out on top, and then those will compete. But I would love it to be like, you know, the NFL. If the BarCraft thing can blow up and people are going to bars to watch StarCraft all the time, and it's big enough that, you know, it's like a household thing, and you can just sit down and watch StarCraft with your family or whatever, that's my vision for esports. But I mean, I don't know how far off we are from that.
That's interesting.
It would be amazing.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in terms of that, I agree that the tournament scene is going to have to kind of boil down to whoever is the most successful will take over. Not necessarily just one league, but maybe one per region, like DreamHack or ESL in Europe, and then MLG or IPL in North America, and obviously GSL in Korea and stuff like that. And then as for the Koreans, obviously, ideally, foreigners get to the point where we're able to compete. I don't really see that happening just because the infrastructure isn't here yet. So the next best thing is have more and more of our dedicated players go over and train in Korea for a period of time, like we have Nanningwa doing now, Sasuke, what Thorstein did, what I'll be doing. And also, I think another possible solution to that is just have, like, tiers, kind of like they have Code A and Code S in Korea. Just have smaller tournaments that don't allow Koreans in the foreigner scene. Give more exposure to these lower-level foreign players. Give them an opportunity to get noticed and kind of reach that level. Because right now, it's really hard for foreign talent to develop and get noticed because you just have Koreans winning everything.
Do you think that would like lessen the interest level of you know fans?
Why?
Not necessarily yet.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Like,
no, I know you are. I know that's not necessarily.
I don't believe that because I'll watch fucking everything. You know, well, not every, but you know.
Yeah,
we need to generate our own subs.
Have either any of you guys seen within MLG? Them notice, you know, they've allowed more Koreans to come over, and then they've been nothing but Koreans. You know, have you noticed how they've been taking your feedback and saying, you know, like, it's great having them here, it's great competition, but look what's happened. You know, they've taken top 8, and fuck, like, what's going on?
I don't know. MLG has actually become more Korean-friendly than they were at first, because at first, I'm absolutely sure it was said that the invitees from the exchange program wouldn't get ranking points, so they wouldn't be able to come back and get seeds, but now they do, and they are. So MLG has become, if you think, more pro-Korean. Yeah. They like having them there.
All they care about is numbers, and I don't think that the Koreans are necessarily hurting their numbers in any way. The Koreans are hurting... they're not allowing us to foster our own superstar talent here in the States, because they're obviously just dominating. They're getting a lot of the fame, they're getting a lot of the attention, and that makes it very difficult to make yourself known at a tournament. The best result you're going to be able to place is, you know, to hope to get into the top 10, and that's a huge feat at an MLG, or even coming up in the IPL. We opened up our qualifiers to Koreans, and Koreans have taken pretty much all of them, save, you know, Stefano. But.
And does...
Straylock.
Does online make up for that in any way, or do you think we still need that sort of North American league approach to things?
I don't think online will ever compare to offline in terms of legitimacy and what we're talking about here. Online can be entertaining, but...
Sure.
Like, you see people like Nurcio and Stefano before, they were just winning pretty much every online cup in Europe, and they still don't get much attention at all compared to competitive offline players who weren't as good as them. Because offline is what draws everyone's eyes. That's where you gain legitimacy.
All right, thank you, Miracle Worker, for your call.
Hold on.
Yeah, thanks for taking
one second.
I don't know, we'll see you on some Nazi zombie soon or something.
Excellent. All right, go ahead, Jeff.
Bang up on the caller,
Jeff. Yeah, and then I'm going to take this next caller.
That's fine. Sure.
Go ahead.
Take it halfway through.
I want to hear it, Jeff. Go.
Thank you very much. Okay?
Go.
Listen, right now, the media is moving towards more electronic-based information. They're noticing that if they put up a blog or article that's on a popular internet-based subject, they'll get hundreds of thousands of views, hits, or responses. It's a good way to churn and put footwork down on a website. My proclamation for the next year is that ESPN and other major media outlets start moving towards that, understanding that if they just dabble in the gaming world of some of these major games like StarCraft and some of the other ones, Dota, on those kind of games, kind of mind, LOL. They're going to get people flocking to their website from different demographics they previously weren't getting, and they're going to blossom as a business, which also means it feeds into the eyes on our games, which means the legitimacy grows as well. New sponsorships come in, more interviews. We'll see Idris sitting on a plush couch across from Jim Rome, and he'll be answering questions like, why is that kid a fucking idiot? Jim Rome will slap him in the face, say, you're a dumbass. There'll be fires in the background, and Greg will start staring at him. It'll be amazing. We'll have commercials and subways and TVs and everything. And I think with that comes things like MLGs, where we got players walking down the aisle and to their theme song that they selected, which MLG promised and still is yet to do.
MLG really fucking needs to do that. That would be so good.
Yes, they do, Greg. We're going to have big things like that. Prize pools are going to go up. You local know, newspapers are going to talk
about I can't wait, Jeff.
Oh, superstar. Go ahead.
I look forward to the day that I get to hear your theme song.
I just said it didn't happen while I was still in Korea.
Do you not know my theme song?
Oh, I know your theme song. I'm about to play it right now, dude. I'm about to hook it up, brother, because you know what? Just imagine when you see In Control about ready to, you know, to walk up and, you know, step up on stage. The lights coming down. The shit is loud. And suddenly... Suddenly, the fucking banjo kicks in. Kermit the Frog asks, why are there so many songs about rainbows? And then Jeff destroys his fucking opponent. And that's kind of how I imagine it going down a little bit in my head. No, it's not the rainbow.
You don't watch my stream, do you, Wheat?
It's not the rainbow connection. I see.
Hang on, Wheat. I'll get you my song. Do you know what song I'm actually getting, Wheat, or are you actually not my best friend in the whole world?
Well, I actually do. I cannot say that I know.
Okay. But hang on, Wheat. I'm getting it for you, and then you're going to have to play it to make
okay.
up for this.
Okay, and then I'm going to bring on an next caller, though, because I want to bring him on.
That's fine, Wheat. All you're right. supposed to be on the next caller, but you wait a second, because you actually have done me harm.
What do you
Jeff,
mean?
Is it one of the ones you posted on
what
your
What are you talking
Twitter?
About?
Play that song. You have to time it well, because there's a commercial before it.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, everyone in the chat knows exactly what we're talking about.
Did you just send it to me?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to send
it's
it to me
chat,
on.
Guy.
You got to send it to me on my DJ Wheat.
Oh God.
Yeah, send it on your DJ Wheat.
All right.
DJ. Okay, there it is. Oh, now no. There is a commercial, so you got to time this. You got to filibuster.
What do you mean? I got a filibuster.
Got a filibuster.
Because it's a commercial. What do you mean? It's a commercial.
Would you just write me?
Oh,
something?
It's a commercial. I
seriously,
see.
So you got to okay. Skype you on your DJ Wheat one, okay. And you go sup. This all is right. Freaking In Control talking to you. Send me the
all
link.
Right. Hold on. I want to hear. It's coming. I'm filibusting for 2-1 go, hoping that it actually loaded. I would like to see. Wait, you like? There's people with jewelry and they're white. Oh, I guess I could show this, right? So people know what the frick is going on here.
Starts talking about banjos.
Wait, what?
This is
not as good as the Rainbow badly. Connection.
I can't help what song was chosen for me. Okay,
wait, that's Willow Smith.
You're catching on. She's even whipping
that's
her hair.
Willow
up.
Smith.
Yeah,
dude, this has 61 million views right now.
I just totally got trolled because I had no fuck. I thought you were gonna drop
oh
some like
God.
Crazy epic. No, I got it. I gotta kill that.
Oh, it's super epic, not crazy
oh
epic.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, for the Lord of God. Oh. Oh, Jeff. You know what? I just think that's not up your alley a little bit.
Wait, I cannot choose that song any more than I can choose my name.
I want
it
you to consider.
It is. Wait, it would be that or the Laughing Shark on repeat. I've only got two choices.
All right.
Well, and this is the best I can do. But let me finish my little spiel.
Okay.
Okay? Mainline eSport commentary media goes big. Two things happen. One, I become the richest person on the planet. Second, I finally move Artos to the moon where he can live forever. It is part of his goal. It's his plan. From the moon,
the
he broadcasts GSL all the time, because guess what? It turns out he's on moon time, which actually coincides with every time zone on the planet Earth. Look it up. It's Wikipedia. Also, with
amazing.
My money, I host the In Control League. We have DJ Wheat commentating by himself. Then we also have Day 9 and Husky, Total Biscuit and D'Apollo, although Total Biscuit can only commentate with over 13 hats on his head, which of course he will do. Because I will pay him handsomely to do so. And it will become the most successful league on the planet.
That's great. And will that be its theme song? Like, that would be the natural transition, right? Oh. Is that correct?
What just happened?
What did just happen? Stuff? What? No, I brought our next caller on.
Okay, yeah, he's got us still turned on, so I could hear myself. I thought,
oh, we got Kim Rom on the line. Okay.
Kim
Rom,
too. I can tell.
Hello, sir. What is up? How come I don't hear Kim Rom?
I don't hear him either.
He's like a dog whisperer. You can only hear him if you're a dog.
Oh, I'm really sad. Oh well.
Hello.
Oh, hello, sir.
Oh, there we go.
What's up?
I have a question.
Okay.
Now that we have.
Go ahead.
You can hear me?
No, I think you're listening to the stream, Kim Rom.
Kim, are you using a Razer headset? Put your SteelSeries one on. It works a lot better.
Okay.
What's up?
You know, you really, really smart people here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Sad face. I think Kim Rahm is listening to the stream and not the and I lost him. Well, what I thought would be great turned out to not be so great.
Well, he said we were really smart. That was nice of him.
He did.
It's one of the better ones. And it was quick, too. You know what I mean? Like, he just got right to business. You guys are smart. Right. And then he hung.
Let's try to take this
That's
again.
Actually, like, the best caller we've ever had.
I'm going to try one more time. Kim Rahm, hello.
Hello. Okay. Now I get this technology thing.
Oh, my gosh. We've got you. We're good.
Hey,
what's up?
At my age, we didn't have this thing. I mean, we had, like, rotary phones and shit.
I know.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So that whole, like, dystopian future that Jeff just described sounds really amazing. And, you know, as a guy who has been sponsoring esports for roughly 10 years, I really like it. As a guy who also comes from a very small communist country in Europe where we only have one sport, it's called soccer. That's the only thing that everyone watches all the time.
Cameron, it's called football. Thank you very much. Europe, we call it football. So I
noticed that it wasn't until Americans, you know, at least came close to winning something that Americans actually started watching this football concept. So my question is, at what point in time can I expect you guys to actually win a major tournament where we have people from Korea?
Kim Rahm, great question. Answer in two ways. One, we've already won. Americans have won the world. We rule it, command it, everything we do, everyone else follows. There's sub-subjects under that, the music industry, movie industry, literature. England's got a small dab, but that's not much. You don't hear about the Swedish authors too much over there, Kim Rahm.
Can we focus on this StarCraft thing that I think we were supposed to
do? You want StarCraft.
Okay.
Well, that's under the number two subject, Mr. Kim Rahm. We got the best personalities on the planet.
I don't know. That's a great question, Kim Rahm. Maybe...
I mean, they've got a little bit of a head start on us, don't you think? With Brood War and
probably, but so seriously, like, you guys are practicing all the time, right? At what point do you think you get there? Like, I love what you do. I have, you know, you're so good. I still have no idea what, you know, the hell it is that you're doing. But at what point do you think that, you know, that this thing will happen?
Practicing all the time isn't everything. It's the Koreans, there's like 100 really good Koreans for every one pretty good foreigner. So as much as we try and practice, we're playing against people who you don't learn that much from playing. Like back in the beta, it was pretty easy to compete with the Koreans because they didn't have that head start. Like foreigners one term is against Koreans in the beta, myself included. I happen to be American.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's just they have a million more resources than us now. It's really hard to catch up with them. Even if you go to Korean practice, there's still the language barrier. It's a lot harder to learn from them than it is for them to learn from each other. There's just a lot of hurdles in the way of any foreigner winning anything in this competition anymore.
Okay.
I'll be the voice of hopeless optimism real quick, Kim Rahm. This is the answer you want. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As a sponsor of esports with 5 easy payments of 55, 55, 95, 95, .95, you can actually send American players to Korea, where the hurdles Greg talked about can be overcame with enough time. We will train with the best, and everyone will die like the rest. But outside of that, as a grassroots movement, we've got players already like Huck and Idra who are in and around that level. And then there's other players who are being supported by beautiful, gorgeously supported teams like EG, which happens to be working in conjunction with SteelSeries, sometimes against them a little bit, but most of the time with them. And we're overcoming a lot of those hurdles. We do have Koreans falling to Americans. Tyler, in a slump, was able to destroy a Korean on stage. The Muslim, who's not American yet, but we're working on that because he's been here for over 3 months. So, the Muslim, how much longer till you're American? 4 or 5 months? Yeah, so 4 or 5 months, he'll be considered American. He's already, cheers. He's on the North American server. We have players. We have the ability. And with the industry growing, kind of that dystopian future I talked about, you use the word dystopian, by the way, which I'm not quite sure I like. Utopian, perhaps. It's perfect. Then we'll have a scenario where players are able to get themselves to the places they need to be so they can compete with everyone else, including the Koreans, and win championships.
Kim Rahm, I've got a kind of different perspective. I feel that if any of the foreign players had the same passion that I do about seeing Slasher get his head shaved, that we would have had a winner a month ago.
Like, I could win a tournament. That's how much I want to see that.
I want to see it pretty bad. So I've been pushing that. I've been pushing that as much as I can.
As a sponsor, I will tell you that if it takes to get more people to Korea, then I will fully support that.
That's what it is. You have to make...
You have to have people who are willing to dedicate to it go to Korea. That's the only way it's going to happen.
You have to pretty much do what Huck and Nidra did. You have to spend several years of your life in Korea training with them. And then, even still, I don't even think Idra is in a spot quite yet. We're coming back here and moving into a pro house and training. Like, I'm sure he gets great practice, but I'm sure being in Korea, like he said, for every good player here, there's 100 good Korean players, and they have all different styles covered. So it's like, no matter what, if you're competing at the high level in Korea, you're getting really, really good practice and versus all different forms of play. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine a better way to train than that. And I've certainly never experienced it, but I would like to.
It's amazing. I'll even say it myself. Like, I'm planning on, when a lot of the Ichi guys are in Korea, sending myself over there or working out a deal with EG or whatever. But it's definitely the Mecca. It's the place you have to go to get better. Even that week and a half, 2 week shot I did for GSL really improved my game, and I can only imagine what being there for a month or year or so on and so forth would do for you.
Yeah, this isn't all just theory or anything. Like, the only foreigner to win a high-profile tournament in the last who knows how long is Huck, and he's been in Korea working the hardest for the longest right now. And like Jeff said, just a few weeks there got a million times better. Even back to StarCraft 1, when IC Cup implemented LAN latency and all the foreigners could then practice with the Koreans on IC Cup, you know, in tournament conditions, all of a sudden, everyone outside of Korea got a million times better relatively, just because the difference...
You're playing with Koreans all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. On iCup, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Thanks for the feedback, guys.
Hey, thanks for supporting eSports. Thanks for supporting all the shows on One More Game.
I never even thought about that, Greg.
I'm gonna bother you for...
That would change everything if they released...
Oh, yeah. Totally I've always said that... I've always had the biggest problem. Yeah.
That would change everything.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like a grouchy old school gamer or something like that when I complain about that. It's like, yeah, it's true. I am a little bit, but.
Kind of are.
Okay. I just, yeah, whatever. Moving on. Next caller, yeah?
Yeah. Let's take, well, actually, it is time. It is time to wrap. We've got about 50 people that want to get into this call right
one
now.
One more caller at onemoregame.tv.
One more call. Wait. Do you want it to be Goatlust, or would you like me to
are
do
you
someone else?
Are you kidding, dude? I'm pretty sure that's like set in stone at this
all right.
point.
All right, then I'm, no backing then out of I'm, it. I'm waiting for Goatlust just hung up. He just, okay, there he goes. See, he's adamant. We got our next caller, our final caller here for Inside the Game. What is up, brother? It is Goatlust.
Yeah, g'day guys. It's been a while.
It's been a while. What's up?
Yeah, not a lot. So, I was just wondering about, you know, your schedule there at the EG house and how Greg thinks it compares to, say, the schedule he had on CJ and Istro. Like, you know, what are the main differences between your schedules? And also, why do you guys tend to, you know, go to bed a bit later and get up a bit later than, you know, other jobs?
Let's hear this. I'm curious about this one.
It's a bit more lax than CJ. CJ, we had 10 to 12 hours. They varied a little. 10 to 12 hours, 7 days a week, on average, two days off a month. Here we have 8 hours a day scheduled, and we have weekends off, but never any special days off or anything. So it's a little bit more lax, but... The other thing is, I think all of the Korean SC2 teams, I think they are more lax than the Korean SC1 teams as well. I believe Slayers only has 8 hours scheduled practice, and they're one of the more hardcore teams. Again, from what I know, I haven't actually experienced this. So I think we are definitely a bit more lax than Korean Star 1 teams, about on par with the Korean Star 2 teams. And as for going to sleep later and getting up later than a regular job, we can set our own schedules. I mean, there is no time where we have to be on, and that's just kind of... what's comfortable. That's what all gamers do. Everyone stays up and plays at night and wakes up late. It's just kind of how it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys are
I think it's because we just have so much access, man. So much access to information. We all, like, watch different shows and do all kinds of social media and stuff. I mean, just a lot to stay up for.
Yeah, for sure. And Pain User Mate, how do you feel things have changed over the course of the last 8 months or so, or thereabouts, since you made your comments about DTs in relation to Banshees and their effectiveness? Do you think anything's come of your predictions?
I mean, what in regards to what I'm in PVT?
Well, do you remember your discussion on State of the Game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you sort of were saying, oh yeah, DTs are, you know, they're a better unit and they're going to get more use, and I feel like in a couple of ways that's sort of happened.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, who opens Banshee against Protoss these days? Almost no one. I mean, Cloak Banshees, you hardly ever even see it anymore. I can't even remember. If you see 1-1-1, Banshees are certainly used now, so they've made a little bit of a resurgence. And players like Puma actually sometimes throw Cloak into the 1-1-1. But other than that, as far as like an opener into Expand or something like that, you don't really see Banshees at all. And I've seen a lot of Protoss players using DTs recently. And I think a lot of that also has to do with the shift in the metagame that Archons are... People are using Charge Lot Archon now with like plus armor builds, so they can open DT and then transition into Archon. And people weren't really doing that before. So,
well, in
that kind of has a little bit.
Goatless, in Pain's defense, you hear all the Terran players in the GSL complaining about the 1-1-1 right now with the one Stalker, one Zealot, one DT. Or do you?
The camera froze.
Damn which it. Made that even better.
Oh. Which made it even better.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
you actually
already in the pose.
So it's pretty good.
Pain User's like correct. In Korea right now, we've got this huge problem with Protoss is winning everything. What they've been doing is they have this DT, which is like a Banshee, only it doesn't fly or have a ranged attack. And then it like runs into the base, and it fucking... The game's already over because his base is dying to the attack the Terran's doing, but... He, like, kills SUVs, though.
I don't know if modern stats are relevant to the discussion we had at the time, though.
Can we not bring in numbers when talking about... Pain is just right. Can we please go less, okay? Can we stay away from stats?
All right, mate.
In my heart, I feel like the Banshee's not as good. And that's just the way Jesus told me. So I don't know.
All right. We gotta wrap this show.
Jesus,
gotta,
don't convene.
It's going down here, downhill from here, guys. No, I'm.
I think it just went uphill.
Go.
All right. Yeah. Have a fucking good one, guys.
Hey, you too, buddy. Take care.
Have a
Thank
fucking
so
good
much.
One.
We'll talk to you later. Peace. Rainbow Connection out to you.
I wonder if he says good on ya.
Good on ya.
Good on ya, mate.
Okay. Final goodbyes. Just a moment. Pain User and I are going to be casting the EGMC between EG and its Gosu, so you're going to want to stick around to watch that. We'll start with you, Pain User.
You guys can find me on Twitter, at Pain User, or twitter.com/PainUser. Everybody stay tuned for IPL. It's in 2 weeks, not a month. And a lot of really, really good players are going to be there. Greg,
God,
I know you're going to
so
be there, right?
Soon.
Yep.
Wait, you're going to be there?
I'm going to be there,
Jeff,
buddy.
Are you going to try and open
Are we
going
to get to cast together?
I don't know.
No, you're casting on your own.
If I'm
I don't know what you're
own,
doing, dude. I'll ask. I seriously have no idea.
I'm not there. I will be there in stream, cheering on everyone on the IPL crew, and perhaps a few special people might be involved.
Hey, Jeff.
What?
If you're watching the stream, do you think, like, just one time while I'm casting, you'd just text me and be like, "You, sir, you're handsome."
I will do that.
You know, like, I suffer from all these self-esteem issues and stuff, and I just think hearing that from you, like, during an event, it'd be special to me.
I will do that.
All right. I'll see if you actually do it, or if you're just scumbag Jeff that's going to, like, say he's going to do it on Inside the Game and then not do it.
Final shout-outs to Team VP. Thanks for supporting me, guys. I'll be at Orlando repping VP. There's a lot of big changes coming in the future for the team, too. I'm sure everybody will hear about it. So stay posted. Thanks, Wee, for hosting. Thanks, guys, for joining. And thank you,
guys,
you most of all, everybody, for watching. We appreciate
VP
it.
Aniwa? Okay. Did we just hear it? Did you just break the news?
And Sase.
And Sase?
Yep.
Freaking out of control, man. Out of control.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully, Jeff, I can I can be in your hypothetical perfect casting world if I prove myself in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
You and HD. Or Cat's Pajamas.
Cat's Pajamas is the man.
I actually need him to succeed because I do an extremely good impression of him, so I need him to do really well.
Hello and welcome.
Okay, so we've got, it seems to be, two tanks raining damage down on the Protoss base, and oh no, it's all over for the Protoss player, and the Terran player has won the game.
Spot on.
Tell me that's not perfect.
Spot on. That's solid.
Got a smile out of Greg. That's like, for a normal person, a chest laugh.
I've actually never seen him cast. I don't know.
That's actually, it's funny that you actually said that, Jeff, because off an offhand comment when I was casting EGMC with Idra, I told the chat that they should count how many times I could make Idra laugh during the cast, and I actually reached 9 times. I was pretty stoked with myself.
I'm actually a very jocular person.
I knew. I always knew the jokes. It would like, it'd be like, here's an automatic one. A Zerg player just lost to a Protoss. Be like, boom. There it was right there. And I'm like, yeah, easy. Easy shit. Easy. Anyway,
Marcus, no. Why'd you turn your webcam off, man?
What? I didn't turn it off, man. Are you serious?
It's been off this whole time, I think.
Yeah, we haven't had it on.
Oh, my God. I'm kind of pissed off about that.
The other reason I need Cat's Pajamas to do well so I get impressions of him is he happens to be American, so nobody gets butthurt when I do his accent.
Exactly. Hello and welcome.
Idra,
IPL content.
Idra, your final
help me.
Your final shout out, sir.
I thank everyone for watching, all the fans and supporters and whatnot, and Team Evil Geniuses, all my teammates, and all our great sponsors, SteelSeries and Kim Rom, and Intel, Monster Energy, Kingston HyperX, Bigfoot Networks, Intel Extreme, Slappa, Six Pool Gaming, Split Reason. We're actually getting too many sponsors, yeah.
Slappa. Greg's job's getting harder.
I know, my memory's not that good.
All the EG players, when they have to announce, they're like,
God damn it, did you give that for shout-outs again?
Did you say Bigfoot and Inwin?
Inwin. Yeah. I said Bigfoot. I forgot Inwin.
Six Pool and Monster Energy.
Yep, got that. I think that's it.
We're getting too many sponsorships, guys.
There's just too many people who want to throw money at us. It's like
esports first world problems. We're getting too many sponsors to remember.
Thank God I have this energy drink to keep me going when times are hard. Listing off all the sponsorships I have.
Oh, is that your final shout out, Jeff? Because I would
no,
like
absolutely
to.
Not.
Oh, okay, okay, go ahead.
Come on. Now, someone in the chat had a great idea. The Sensei just came out today.
Dude.
So I'll show it real quick. This is the Sensei.
Man, you know
it's
what?
It's basically a better, more accurate Zai. No diss to Zai, but it's just an improvement that happens with time. You can change the colors all you want.
How do I change the colors, Jeff?
Are you serious, Wheat?
How do I change the colors, man?
He's like, I restarted my computer 4 times and the colors didn't change.
It don't work.
What's going on?
That's not a Sensei, is it?
How do I change the colors,
no,
Idra?
Oh, that's a Zai, I think.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
What?
And on the bottom, you can actually upload any word here you want. So if you were
and
like
pictures or anything, it's just like
a Protoss player, you'd put a little word down there that says, don't kill yourself. And after every game against a Terran, you look at it and go, okay, not this time. It's a great mouse. You can set it up, everything. You download the drivers and engine right off the website. I really like it. So a lot of people are asking about that. It came out today. Definitely check it out. In terms of other stuff, we're just all getting ready for MLG Orlando. Like I said, my group is easy peasy, so I'm not too worried about it. I'm more looking towards the people I have to play after that, my bigger concern. Because obviously group play has been so easy for me in the past few MLGs, so I'm pretty prepared.
Of course.
And aside from that, please do come say hi to me at MLG Orlando. If I make it to IPL, then please come say hi to me there. Otherwise, I'll be there in spirit via stream, texting Wheat while he casts.
Are there going to be a ton of Koreans in the open bracket again?
Well, it's a $100,000 prize, guy.
At IPL?
If you're about to have all of Korea there.
I doubt it, because like, there's already so many Koreans qualified that it's low percentage.
No. I'm talking about Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you.
Need to know. There haven't been that many Koreans in the last few.
I can't compete in IPL because of legal stuff, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Marine King Prime will be there.
Yeah.
Reddit is sending him, so shout out to Reddit. That's actually pretty freaking awesome. And then I'm sure we'll talk about it later on State of the Game, but actually Tyler made a cool comment about that. He said that it's, on the one hand, super awesome that the community is kind of banding together and doing this initiative. But on the other hand, it's kind of a reminder that it's a little bit sad that the community has to make that initiative and there's not, like, things in place to bring a player like Marine King Prime over there. So I'm sure there'll be bigger commentary there. But as far as shout-outs, just echo Idris's sentiments. We really couldn't do any of this without our sponsorships. I mean, most immediately for the show, Six Pool and Steel Series, which is pretty cool. But then also for EG specifically, like, joking aside, we do have a lot of sponsorships, but that's just a sign of how good things are going. And I hope it becomes a problem where only a guy my size can actually fit all the sponsorships on our shirt. That would be freaking sweet. In which case, like Greg it. And Machine, everybody have to put on weight or wear bigger clothes. And, of course, that makes me happy. I'm trying to get Machine fat. It's a true story. Machine.
You don't really have to work that hard, though.
Honestly. Right.
I'm cultivating mass, bro. I'm cultivating mass.
Machine and I have the same width of waist, actually.
Interesting. For those that are jotting down.
It's kind of interesting.
34.
When the Catch the In Control contest comes out, you'll need to know that. So
people wondering, my waist is 34.
Write it down. All right, guys, we got a jet. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to follow the host of the show on Twitter, at PainUser, at IdraJIT, at EGInControl, and at DJWeek. You can also follow the show at ITG_SC2. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As much as I want to end with Kermit the Frog, Rainbow Connection, just for In Control, I'm going to go out with the ITG intro song. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for joining us again on episode 16. Coming up next, the EG Masters Cup.
Oh, shit. Gunner. We forgot Gunner.
And Gunner, yes.
Damn it.
We'll see you next time, guys.
Slide it right in there.